Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. United States women edging out Spain to win this round of 16 matchup by a final of 2-1, all goals converted from the penalty spot by Megan Rapinoe as they just escape a thrilling match, a thrilling round of 16 match. For the USA women, as they now will take on the host nation in France this coming Friday. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable what we have witnessed. Unbelievable what we have watched here. Let's give credit to Spain. First things first. Let's give them credit. They came in with a game plan. They came in with tactics. They were going to foul our women. They were going to foul them pretty good. And then all of a sudden, the fouling went too far. That is the downfall of Spain. And even though they leveled the match after Megan Rapinoe converted her penalty in the 7th minute, that was poor execution from Nair and Sauerbrunn that allowed Sauerbrunn to get her pocket picked. And then it was Jennifer Hermoso who converted from that one. And then what you saw in this one, what you saw was a USA team still determined, still attacking. Still going forward and still trying to show why the U.S. women are still the top nation in women's football. How, when, where, and why. And what happens? Plain and simple, the women are still attacking, still playing. But you're seeing frustration from the USA women because of not just the tactics that was going against them, but at the same time, you're seeing our women getting fouled very hard, and obviously, I mean, you know, you would like for them to blow the whistle on every opportunity that the fouling was done, but still, though, it's a situation where it's just been. How you call it? I apologize. I just lost my train of thought here for a minute. And all you can say is that this has been a situation where the women, you know, they had a very damn good opponent, a very damn good opponent going forward. A very damn good opponent to face. You saw no fear from Spain. And I think that's what you want to see. You don't want to see an opponent, like, have fear in their eyes and then they get taken down and they just don't know what to do with themselves. Spain came out and attacked. And that's what you want to see when you're having the best of the best taking on a side that, you know, they had their issues in the group stage, but, you know, they had a game plan on the U.S., and they found a way to, you know, break through early on. But once again, you can tell in this one that the USA, they showed some frustrations, not overly frustrated, not overly, you know, down. They knew they had to stay patient. They knew they had to stay calm. They just continue with their game. Jill Ellis probably at halftime. She probably changed up a little bit. She made some adjustments that I think they did very well on. And it's just one of those things where you have to say that for the U.S., they really looked solid. They looked fantastic. They just kept on going. But once again, the little frustration that the USA showed, you can tell that, you know, they were off their game. And give credit to Spain for getting them off their game. Unfortunately, no Miss Araceli Villanueva today. She's been called into covering the U.S. men's national team for the Gold Cup match at Children's Mercy Park. No Carter Krishnar. So to join me today on post-game for today, the one and the only Jeff Weisinger, who joins me today to talk about this matchup. And you know what, Jeff, I have to say, and of course, I just want to make sure I get this out there. He's currently with the San Francisco Examiner. Of course, also SB Soccer by Ives as well. Jeff, this was a match where I think you have to give credit to Spain on how their game plan worked almost to perfection, but you can tell that they probably overfouled, and that's why the U.S. was able to escape this, not so much escape, but at least to convert two penalties in this match to put them into the quarterfinals.
And that was a big difference. If you think about, first off, hello, Daniel. If you think about this match, the USA advanced on a pair of penalties, and really Spain played the aggressive the entire match, and if not for those two penalties, if those two penalties are on call, we're talking about Spain upsetting the United States. I don't think the U.S. was that impressive in the attack. They were sloppy for sure up top. They were sloppy in the midfield. They got lucky in the back. Spain really got them off their game. I don't think the United States isn't used to teams being physical with them. They used to being the bullies, and now the rest of the world is catching up, and we're seeing that with Spain. We probably will see that later on Friday with France.
Oh, absolutely. And I've said this many, many times. I have said that this is what women's football needs. I mean, look, when the first Women's World Cup came a long time ago, it was the USA, it was Norway, and it was China. Those were the three dominant national teams for the women's game. Some threw some teams in there, some don't care. Now that they see the benefit of what women's football can do and how this Women's World Cup has now, exploded, and now you have, two more groups that makes it at least six groups of four. You have a round of 16 for the first time in the Women's World Cup. Now you're seeing what these other nations have finally realized and just the tactics that I thought the Spaniards put out there in the U.S. And I agree with you. I thought they were ready. They were trying to bully the U.S. And if it wasn't for the over-bullying, especially in the fouling inside the areas of Spain, then Megan Rapinoe's penalties don't get converted.
And I think that's really what it is. I mean, think about when we talk about penalties, it's just – we talk about penalties and the physicality. It's really just being too physical inside the 18. The second penalty is going to be talked about for the rest of the week. Was it a penalty? Should have been a penalty. VAR confirmed it and the referee confirmed it. But at the same time, it looked like such a soft call. You understand that Rose Lavelle, she went down from the pain of getting grazed by the cleat, but like it wasn't such a blatant tackle. Virginia Torresilla kicked her leg. She just barely got hit with the graze of a boot. So that was such a close PK. I mean, that's what we talked about all week. But yeah, Spain really is the epitome of what you mentioned as far as like the rest of the world catching up and all these national programs seeing the payoff of developing their women's program. And we're going to see this throughout. We're going to see this, in the next Women's World Cup. We're going to see this in the Olympics coming up. You know, the United States is no longer the top dog. You know, they're fighting to stay the top dog, but they're definitely no longer the favorite. But, yeah, if not for two penalties, this is a completely different game, a completely different story.
No, I agree with you. No, absolutely. It's a definitely completely different story. I think we also have to say, and we have to also give credit to Spain. I mean, outside of the penalties that Megan Rapinoe converted, she, like you said, I don't think she was effective. I thought that the defender who marked her all game long was in her pocket. I mean, there's no way you can say that Megan Rapinoe had a good game. I mean, yes, she converted penalties, but outside of that, for 90 minutes, Megan Rapinoe was, let's be honest, you know, she was stopped handedly by the Spanish back line, by the fullback.
For what it's worth, I don't think she's had a good World Cup. You know, she hasn't really been as effective. I'm not going to include the Thailand match because that's just – Thailand hasn't had no business being in the tournament. But you know, when you talk about the matches against Chile and Sweden, really, Rapinoe hasn't done much. She hasn't – she's been ineffective on the wing, and I think it's something you kind of need to look at. You kind of play her because of the respect and what she's done for this program, but I don't think she's been that great in the wing. I don't think she's been that great setting up the cross. I don't think she's been that great, you know, in the midfield. Yeah, she hasn't been too great in the midfield and in the wing. So, you know, there's something to look at. My biggest takeaway was actually Alyssa Nair, because I think this being her first major tournament, I think she's made those kind of first major tournament mistakes, right? You look at the goal that Spain scored. There was no business, you know, clearing a ball. When playing, she should recognize the high press, you know, recognize the high line, and playing against that, you don't routinely just give a simple pass up the middle right in front of your 18 and like that. And any goalkeeper, that's just a rule for any goalkeeper, you know. You know, Alex Morgan, she scored 5 goals against Thailand and has been ineffective since. So this has been a program that really in the attacking front hasn't shined. And it was definitely on display today. They couldn't finish. Roosevelt had like the lone legitimate shot in 56 minutes. The ball went just over the crossbar. But they haven't been impressive. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing that you're going to have to worry about on Friday now. And, yes, they're going to take on the host nation, France. France has been tremendous at home. And, you know, they are one of those programs that are improving. They are definitely improving as they are going forward. They have great, talented players. I mean, there are whispers right now of the possibilities of, is it possible that the French Football Federation could have both programs winning World Cups in consecutive seasons. I mean, you know, the threat is there right now. I mean, some are going to be saying, well, you know, come on now. You know, they had a bad game, the U.S., probably, but I don't think that will happen against the French. No, this is different. This is a different animal. It's a different kettle of fish. You don't know what's going to happen, coming Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern time because, you know, the French have been improving in the women's game very, very solidly.
Yeah, and we you know, the United States, for that matter, they haven't played well since the second group stage match against Chile. And yeah, they won 3-0 against Chile. They beat Sweden 2-0, but it hasn't been as impressive. And you know, when you talk about this U.S. women's national team, you know, you talk about them being dominant, talking about being the bullies, and we're not used to seeing them getting out muscled, so to say. When I used to them being not creative on the ball and not being able to create those attacking chances. So going up against France would be interesting because France has been, to me, the French side has been very solid through this World Cup. And I think this would be the biggest test the United States face. And I don't know if they're not ready yet or if they're just kind of like looking down on everyone. I don't know, maybe the sense of arrogance that came in. But, you know, Spain should be, you know, you kind of hope that Spain would be a wake-up call for this team. Like, the tournament's going to get tougher. It's not all talk. The tournament's really going to get tougher for this side. And, you know, you can't – it's really – after this performance, it's hard to favor them to repeat. And that was the expectation for this program coming in. You know, like, well, you know, the United States, you know, there's no way that they – there's no way they don't repeat as Women's World Cup champions. Like, who's really going to beat them? And then you see the way France played. You see the way France played in the tournament. You see the way Spain's played – that Spain played today. And it's like, you know, the fact that the United States couldn't beat – a team who's making their debut in the knockouts in the Women's World Cup, it says a lot. You know, it says a lot as far as, like, where this U.S. program is compared to the rest of the world is. Right now, the U.S. program is kind of – it's slowly dropping its weight to the middle of the pack, it seems.
Yeah, well, right now it does look like it, but we'll see what happens when they go in the quarterfinals. Going back to the match, did you have your heart in your throat when to me, I thought there was a foul inside the USA area, and maybe Spain was close to getting a penalty, even though the referee didn't do anything. VAR didn't call to say that's a penalty, to maybe bring it back. What did you think about that one?
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't get that call, because the U.S. technically got those calls twice. So I was a little bit surprised. At the same time, I thought we'd get a VAR check, and I think I just kind of like let it go after. I'm like, okay, I guess there really was nothing there. I think it was kind of, in a way, at the time, I'd been good to not over-referee because this came after a potentially questionable penalty. So I think it was kind of good to see the referee just kind of let them play. But at the same time, it would have been interesting to see if Spain would have got that call.
Yeah.
And again, this game has just been full of moments. You know, you got to keep in mind this game was full of moments where, you know, USA gets the early pen, but you know, and then Spain responds, and then they don't get the penalty, but then the US gets penalty on a much lighter, softer call, right? And that's really what it came down to. And Spain nearly equalized in stoppage time. They had that chance late inside the 18, in that 7 minutes of a 7 minute eternity of a stoppage time. So you know, it's one of those things where like, and you and I have seen this for years in any match where like one moment could really tell, and it's probably at the moment you don't really think it is at first. It was interesting to see that.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's the one thing I think we're all trying to now understand what's going on here, because you know, when you've got these tactics going against you, you got to find a way to fight through them. And maybe the question is, maybe Jill Ellis, and you know, I praised her earlier for, you know, adjusting her tactics and adjusting, you know, herself as well to put in the right people to go forward and to you know, go out there and let her players play the way that they know how to play. But do you feel maybe Carly Lloyd should have been in the starting 11 in this one, that maybe the tactics against the U.S. suited her more than Alex Morgan?
I really would have put Carly Lloyd in over Alex Morgan. I also would have put in Lindsey Horan, because I thought she had a great match against Sweden. I would put her in over Mewis. It just kind of keep on playing off momentum and such. But yeah, I think Jill Ellis, because of her record in these last two, or last one plus Women's World Cups, I think she's kind of earned that right to kind of stick to her guns for now, because she has yet to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows something that when she knows something that we don't. She's doing something that we're not talking about, and we haven't seen yet, that we haven't realized yet. But I think she's kind of earned that right to kind of be stubborn in that sense and not really make those adjustments as much as we all say she needs to make those adjustments. So I give her the benefit of the doubt. Until she loses, I give her the benefit of the doubt, because she hasn't lost. So kind of keep – whatever you're doing, it's working, right? Just kind of just let her keep doing what she's doing. So if she feels like she needs to make – keep on, she didn't make any subs till like the last 5 minutes. Really, and that was kind of – that became a talking point after the 80th minute, where it's like, where, you know, why isn't Joe Ellis making any subs? You can see Rapinoe's gas, Morgan's gas. You know, Roosevelt gave her all in this match, right? And she didn't make any subs until the final five, six, 7 minutes of the match. So, but you know, but at the same time, you see that, like, yeah, you should make subs. I think one person on Twitter kind of got sarcastic and was like, if only Jill Ellis had players, was able to take a player who's tired off the field and put someone in who was fresh, if only she was allowed to do that three times a game. You know, and it was kind of, it became a bit of a talking point. But at the same time, she's yet to lose in the Women's World Cup. So there's kind of that little benefit of the doubt you want to give. You kind of should, or you want to give her. Where it's like, okay, like, we don't agree with what she's doing right now, but she has to have something planned. Because to go unbeaten in your first 11 World Cup matches, to me, says a lot.
Yep. No, I agree. And you know what? That's the funny thing is that this is the first goal in this tournament that the USA has been scored against. So, yeah, you know, I have to ask this though. What do you think about the keeper for today, Nahir? She looked very, very shaky in this one. I think maybe she made some pretty solid adjustments in the second half, but I thought she was very shaky in the first. I mean, a la Zach Steffen in the friendlies before the Gold Cup, you cannot put that ball to your defender who's all alone. Next thing you know, she gets stripped, and then they just converted on that chance. You just can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, this was of the whole tournament, this was the worst match I've seen Alyssa there. I mean, you gotta keep in mind, this is also her first major international tournament, so she's gonna make some mistakes, and that's gonna be a lot of that kind of just kind of comes, you know, in time. You know, we're so used to Hope Solo being there and just being the experienced goalkeeper and just like such a, you know, such like a non-worry, like such like a security blanket, so to say, for this program. There's two ways to look at it. Nair didn't have a great game. I think the mistake that she made, which led to Spain's goal in the ninth minute, I think that was just how, just as a professional goalkeeper, like how do you make that kind of decision? How do you not see the high line? I think she adjusted fine in the second half. I think she made the saves she needed to make. For the most part, she's been decent in the tournament, but she didn't play like any real competition. And the first two, pretty much just the entire group stage, she didn't have a lot to do. Right, so she kind of, you know, you kind of get yourself in that mentality where it's like, you know, they're not, you know, the background's gonna handle it. There's not much I have to worry about, minus like a save here and save there. And you know, she probably didn't expect Spain to come at her the way they did. I don't think anyone expected Spain to come out the way they did. So maybe it was a little bit not being ready. I thought she had a better second half, but it'll be interesting to see what she does against France. Because I think this is like such a huge. This match alone can be a huge. Could be a huge learning lesson for her going forward in these international tournaments where, you know, you can't make simple, stupid mistakes like that. You know, where you have to kind of, you know, you don't second guess yourself. Like, worst case, just clear the ball. You know, the answer to her error is as simple as that. So I don't want to say she had a terrible game. I don't think she had a great game by any means. Her errant pass to clear the ball is going to be the one that's going to stand out the most. But she hasn't been terrible, honestly. For someone in their first World Cup, in the first major international tournament of any, I think she's been okay. But at the same time, like, look who she's gone against. So you have to balance that out.
Yes. No, I agree. I mean, I thought she had a better second half than she did in the first half. Nair, I thought she was much better in the second half. And, you know, the challenge that she had to stop, that she took out on the punch, you know, she got taken out as well, unfortunately. But, you know, at least she bounced back up and, you know, finished up that match. And just to see what the evolution of the women's game so far in this World Cup has proven that, you know, as we've already stated, everyone's caught up to the U.S. Everyone's caught up to the U.S. And, you know, there's a real threat now on their title.
But that's good. I mean, I think if you're a USA fan, I think that's also good because I don't want to say winning gets boring. But, you know, it makes it entertaining. It keeps you at your top level, right? Competition breeds greatness.
Mm-hmm.
That saying?
That's right.
That holds true. You know, if the United, you know, and keep in mind, it's not like the United States has gone to every – it's not like this women's national team has gone to every World Cup and won. They won 99. They won 2000. From 2000, and then later was 15, but that was the 2015 title was the first in a while for this program, right? So, the world's been catching up for a while. I think the fact we're seeing it on like international broadcast, and in fact we're able to see it the way we are now, makes us realize that the rest of the world is catching up to us. I think it's more of that than anything because look, you know, Germany's won a Women's World Cup. You know, some of these other countries have done it before. You know, Japan's done it before. And we've seen what it means to them. But, and I think the one thing we have to realize is how big this tournament really is. You know, this isn't, you know, just a major international tournament on the same essence as, like, the She Believes Cup or anything like that. Like, this is the real deal right here. And we're able to see these other countries kind of get into the spotlight. Like, I'm excited for what Spain's going to do in the future. You know, I'm excited to see how much they've grown. I mean, to take the number one ranked USA to take them 1-1 to 80th minute in a round of 16 match, I think that says a lot. You know, and I want to see how they continue to invest in that program. You know, we'll see what happens with France on Friday. You know, we've seen what Japan's done over the years, and so on. So, Canada's about to play Sweden right now. I forgot Canada was in the tournament. You know, it's good to see that. You know, I think so. I think it's great. I think it makes the game more watchable. because just, you know, playing on the stigma of American sports, like not many people really watch women's sports here like that. So to have a team and to have a team dominate a sport and see the rest of it, see everyone else kind of get on that same level, it makes it a much more fun watch. So yeah, no, it's great to see. Truthfully, I think it's great to see. You know, I'll tell you right now, going to the 2023 Women's World Cup, I don't think the Americans are going to be favorites, and I think that's a good thing.
Nope. I mean, why not? You know, I mean, you'd love to be, you know, favored all the time. And, you know, once in a while, that's not going to happen. And we'll see what happens when we get to the next World Cup or next World Cup qualifying. You never know. I mean, obviously, CONCACAF needs to improve on the women's game as well. And we'll see what happens if that one moment that the United States does not qualify for a Women's World Cup, and that should be interesting to watch. So we'll see what happens going forward for the next tournament. But
right, I just think, just sort of to show up, I think the way that the U.S. soccer is invested with the women's program in general, and the way women's sports is here, where soccer is the top, soccer really is the top women's sport in the country. It's so hard to see them not qualifying for World Cup, because that is the expectation. And we could say the same with the men's team, but our best female athletes play soccer. There's no question about that, right? They're not, you know, some play mm-hmm. basketball, very few play softball, but majority play soccer. So to be honest, for the women's national team to not qualify for Women's World Cup is actually as drastic or as disappointing, if not more so, than the men's program. Because the men's program, we saw that coming for years. We saw the decline coming for years, right? We saw the decline and the inability to address it. We've seen that coming, right? We saw that coming since 2014. We saw that coming since 2016, and it came to the head in 2017 in Trinidad. With women's team, I just don't see that, because there's a continuous investment. There's a continuous investment in the program, and if anything, there's probably more so now because of how popular the sport is in this country, how open the sport is in this country, and especially because now our players aren't stuck with NWSL. They can go to Paris. They can go to England. They can go to Spain and play in the women's leagues there, where there's even more investment, right? So our players can get better playing overseas. So for the U.S. women's national team to not qualify would probably be as big, if not bigger, a shock than when the men's team didn't qualify 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I think that'd be the biggest shock in the history of the women's game if it ever does happen. Well, I'm not saying we want it to happen. Obviously, we want to see our women, you know, qualify for all the Women's World Cups that they can get to. But we have to be aware of, you know, what's going to be coming down the road. And coming down the road will be the French. And once again, as everyone knows, they'll be over at the Parc des Princes in Paris, as the USA women are going to take on the French. And, you know, the questions I guess we're going to see in this one is, I mean, you know, who are the danger women that the USA are going to be facing? I mean, what are we worried about? Is it the flanks? Is it going to be down the middle of the park? Is their back line that strong? I mean, what are we going to be concerned with when the USA women take on the French, who look to be such a powerhouse right now in this tournament?
I think the biggest thing is just seeing the lack of inability from the United States. The lack of inability in the attack for the United States. I think that's the biggest concern. Because I just feel like when the U.S. is strong in the attack, I feel like that it's unstoppable no matter who. And that's the one thing I want to see fixed going to the quarterfinals against France. The back line I'm actually okay with. I think they held, you know, Spain came at them hard, and I think they held their own. France is a different talent, and France is actually one of the hottest teams coming out, coming to the knockout rounds. And so that's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. But also, like, could France deploy a high line? Could France kind of take a page out of Spain's playbook and Spain's tactics today to see, hey, the U.S. can't handle a high press, and we should just go at them aggressive. It'll be interesting to see what France does. I think they're a very different talent than Spain is. They're definitely more experienced, and I think that's going to play a role in itself. But if the U.S. can get if the U.S. can get their attack going, I think everything else is going to kind of fall into place.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I think That's the one thing I believe that I think we have to be careful with. I think, you know, the possible inexperience, and got to be careful of the certain nuances that maybe the French national team might throw against the women, and we'll see what happens, of course, on Friday. And that's going to be, of course, at 3 o'clock Eastern time. That'll be on Fox National. That should be a fun one to watch. And going into the quarterfinals, and you, we'll see what happens with, I don't want to say bigger or better competition, but at least what Spain did, it definitely threw a monkey wrench in the works. You can tell that Jill Ellis needed the halftime whistle to get back into the locker room, to reassess the situation, make some adjustments, which is what they did, and they played better. They were more compact, the USA, in the second half, because in that first half, once again, seeing poor crosses, seeing poor passes, seeing shots taken from long distance is not what the USA women are normally known for. They don't take it from 25, 30, even 35 yards away from frame. I think all of what Spain did to them in that first half got them off their game pretty bad.
No, Spain definitely got them off. Spain definitely got them off their game. You know, because you're absolutely right. What we have seen from women's national team passes, them being able to drive up with the ball, pretty much walk into a team six and finish a shot within the 18-yard box, within the six. And, you know, Spain pretty much closed off every opportunity. So I want to see if France is going to deploy. I'm really curious to see if they make any adjustments, whether it's in the starting 11, whether it's tactical for that matter, to see how they kind of fix that going to the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just watch to see what France did. Three straight wins over Norway and Nigeria and South Korea in Group A. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, plus six on the differential is not bad. They've scored seven times, allowed one. And, of course, now you go to France in the round of 16. Of course, they defeat Brazil 2-1. And that was an extra time, and that goes to show you how good Brazil is. With Marta, because, you know, with France and Brazil, you know, if you think about it, Brazil, even though, you know, it was back in 1998 with that final, with the way that Brazil played, you know, back in the day, you know, that was one of those weird moments where how does the French beat the Brazilians? And then here's an opportunity where maybe the women are going to try and grab maybe a little bit of revenge from that final back in the day when it was in Paris. And, you know, unfortunately for the Brazilians, they fall an extra time, 2-1. And so France will keep on going with their good luck, either in the men or the women's game against Brazil.
Oh, that's me.
Yes.
One more time, I totally missed your question.
That's okay. No, that's okay. That's all right. Look, I know you're probably in the newsroom right now grabbing some calls. I understand. But, no, I'm just saying, you know, back in 98 World Cup when France hosted the World Cup and they're in the final against Brazil and France defeated Brazil, it was like 2-0, 3-0. Here's the women's team in France and taking on the French. And, you know, unfortunately went to extra time, but, you know, Brazil does not try to find their form of revenge on the French. And they'll advance to the quarterfinals to take on the U.S.
Yeah, I can totally. I mean, the U.S. How can I explain this? Wait, are you asking me if sorry, I'm like all family, four things going. Are you asking me if France is going to win or the U.S. is going to run after the game against France? I'm trying to understand what
you're saying. No, just saying like Brazil won. No. Just saying like Brazil, like for the women, for the Brazilian women, they're trying to find some form of revenge. You know, on the French,
right.
But they fall in extra time 2-1 to the French.
Right. So we're talking about the revenge, or we're talking about
U.S.? No, just saying France was able to. No, just talk about the French. Just talking about them and how they played, and you know, wondering, like, you know, was Brazil going to be the worrisome, you know, opponent that we all know they can be because, you know, Marta has been unbelievable. You know, for the Brazilian national team and especially in the past Women's World Cups. I mean, she's not the only weapon they have, Brazil, but you would think that maybe because they thought about 1998 back in the day, that they want to, you know, give out their own form of revenge for what happened on that day in, you know, in 98
right.
and when France hosted the World Cup, and they just – like they couldn't do it this time.
That's hard. It's hard to say. Like, I think that's just – it's two very different teams. You know, it's funny because a similar question was brought up with the men's side with USA and Trinidad. Was, you know, and they asked Michael Bradley if that was – if, you know, if the match on Saturday was revenge for what happened in the qualifiers. And he was saying it's two very different teams, in which he's right. We're
that's
talking
right.
about 98 France and 2019 France as two different generations, right? They could be that sense
that's
of
true.
That sense of like revenge. They could be the revenge factor. I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't put it past anyone that was the case, but I don't think that was really it. I think that was just, you know, France just being a hotter and better team at the moment and kind of having everything clicking for them. And Brazil just kind of came up and just fell short in that match. Yeah, I honestly wouldn't think too much of the revenge being. I mean, it's nice to get it. It would be nice. It's nice to get it. No, 21 years later. And yeah, 21 mm-hmm. years later. But I mean, you know, I feel like it's like the team now is so different than the one in from 99. I wouldn't think so much about it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think,
and you know
it's
what,
true,
though?
That's
very,
very
true what Michael
teams.
Bradley said, too. No,
yeah.
I agree with you there. And, you know, I think for – I mean, if you're, like, you know, a player – well, I'll say this about Michael Bradley. Yes, it was two different teams that lost in Trinidad, did not qualify for the World Cup, and, of course, getting the 6-0 victory over Trinidad in this one. I mean, the only person that would probably look for revenge would be, like, at least Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley. But then again, they put that blame on themselves because, you know, they should have done better down in Trinidad against a side where, you know, they're already out of it. They're trying out younger players with the remaining World Cup qualifiers. They're on their schedule. They're already eliminated in the middle of the hex 2 years ago. But, you know, the only time you get real revenge, and it'd probably be more, you know, a USA fan would feel like it's more revenge if you go back down to Trinidad and you get the revenge down there in World Cup qualifying. You don't get the revenge in a Gold Cup group stage match. Because it's like you said, it's apples and oranges.
Right. Two different generations, two different tournaments. Right.
Right.
You know, from that US side's World Cup qualifiers in Trinidad, you know, and again, it's one of those losses that we all kind of saw coming with that US program. Right. I think with France and Brazil's case, it's just two different generations. It's, you know, it's one thing that the U.S. and Trinidad were 2 years apart, and you get to see them in a Gold Cup, which, I mean, really has like which without a Confederations Cup has like no value now, minus conference. And I think when it comes to France and Brazil, it's just such a two different teams, two different generations, two different times in the sport, in that matter. And I think it's nice for France to get that win over Brazil yesterday to get that 2-1 win, but I personally wouldn't connect the two like that.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. No, that's fine. No, look, you know, like we've said already, it's generational, different tournaments. There is no real revenge, you know, going forward, but, you know, probably in the minds of others, you know, they would like to get that game back and hopefully get.
Right. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that part at all. Where, you know, there'll be others who were there in 98 who, like, we find, you know, we got our revenge against this country. But to compare this is so – it's like comparing, you know, it's like comparing the 76 Yankees to the Yankees of today, right, if we can play that card.
That's
where
true.
It's like, it was such a different generation. I mean, how many – yeah, keep in mind also how many of these kids – how many of the players on the teams were actually around for that 98 Cup, for that match 98? You know, how many were actually alive and actually aware of what was happening, you know, but 21 years ago? You know, probably very few, if anything. So, yeah, I get that part. I just don't see – I don't see how it could really match up in that kind of sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, just got to throw it out there. You're wondering what's in the minds and see what goes on. And, you like to discuss these sort of things. Absolutely. So, listen, we're going to wrap this up. Any final thoughts in this quarter, in this round of 16 matchup with the U.S. and Spain? Go ahead, Jeff, and give me what you think and how you feel.
Yeah, the U.S. showed it vulnerable. I mean, they're not as invincible as we thought they were. Through Gusage, like, you know, the whole talk with how dominant the U.S. has been in with how dominant the USA has been through the group stages. And keep in mind, they scoring the record of 18 goals in the group stage. And you have to kind of keep in mind, of those 18 goals, 13 came against Thailand, right? So how many, how valid or how deep is that record, really? I think the fact that Spain, who was a debutante in the knockout stages, who made, this is the first ever knockout stage match, the fact that they took the United States 2-1. They lost 2-1 to the United States, but they took them 1-1 pretty much for 80 minutes, for 75, 80 minutes. The fact that they were able to respond immediately after allowing that penalty in the 7th minute, I think it shows that the U.S. may not be as top dog as we thought. I think the U.S. kind of maybe exposed themselves a little bit as far as, that they're beatable. And I think if I'm France, I'm looking at this match like we could beat them. And I think we're going to see it on Friday, where France can come out fully confident, and come out fully aggressive, fully confident. Because if France wins, it's still an upset in the eyes of the Americans, because the U.S. should win this whole thing. The expectation is that the women's national team wins this whole thing. And here's France. The USA never wants to lose to France in general, right? But
right.
Here's the French team, who's one of the hottest teams in the tournament right now, and they're. No, they really have a legit chance to beat the U.S. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. Friday's going to be interesting. The days leading in, I'm curious to see what Joe Ellis and company are going to have to say, if anything, leading into the match. I'm curious to see what her adjustments are going to be. I feel like she needs to make a few adjustments, especially starting 11. Maybe putting in Lloyd over Morgan. Maybe starting Lloyd over Morgan. Maybe starting with Pino on the bench. I don't feel like she's had a strong World Cup. So it'll be interesting to see how she adjusts. I do feel like if the U.S. wants to win it, she's going to have to make some tough adjustments.
Yep, I agree with you there. I mean, I think there's going to have to be adjustments all over the place. I mean, I don't think you have to make too many. But, the ones that need to be done, I agree with you on those adjustments. I think you're probably going to have to put some of these teams – I shouldn't say these teams – put some of these players on the bench and – let them get a breather and let someone else get an opportunity and see how they can do it. And, look, and if those women can't get it done, then obviously put out Rapino, you put out Morgan, you come off the bench and you plug them in and you see what you can do. I absolutely agree.
Right.
This is going to be a tough one.
Right.
This will be a tough one on Friday, but, look.
This will probably be the toughest match we've seen the women's national team play in quite a long time, in all honesty. I really feel like this would be the toughest match they're going to play.
I agree.
So it'll be fun.
I absolutely agree. And it's going to be great. Why not? That's the whole point. Competition is not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be difficult. So we'll see what the next round will bring for the U.S. Absolutely. Jeff, thank you again for coming in, and I will talk to you again soon. Thanks a lot.
Definitely appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. No problem. From the San Francisco Chronicle, Jeff Weisinger joins me. As the United States, once again in the final, defeating Spain 2-1, both goals converted from the penalty spot, both by Megan Rapinoe. And the USA will now take on France in the quarterfinals this coming Friday, 3 o'clock Eastern time on Fox National. Check your local listings for your channel number in your area. Once again, for Jeff Weisinger of the San Francisco Chronicle, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. This has been the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, Women's World Cup coverage, round 16 postgame show. Once again, the United States defeating Spain by a final of 2-1. Talk to you next time on Friday. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Open Cup Round 5 review. This coming Wednesday night, USA Panama Gold Cup postgame show. And then on Friday, the USA women are back at it again. Talk to you then, and take care. So long. Bye-bye for now. As always, please enjoy your football.